you are, yes you are. So good, so good, so good. Yes you are, yes you are, yes you are. You are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are
gonna live by words.
it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. I said shout out to God with your praise. We serve a wonderful God. Do you not know that you really don't need a worship leader to worship God? You don't need anyone to stand before you and say, lift your hands and open your mouth. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And because you carry the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you're your own worship leader. You are a person that can set the temperature wherever you are. I want you to do something for me real quickly. If you can, there are people that are on your row who may not believe this. But I want you to set the temperature for your row. Some people will never lift their hands in the worship. They will never open their mouths. They said, I'm speaking from my heart. But when you worship God, you got to do something beyond just pondering and meditate. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be in my mouth. That's the gateway. So I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to open your mouth. On the count of three, you're going to tell God how you feel about him. Well, Pastor, I've never met him before. But you know how you feel about it. Say it like you're talking to your mother or your best friend or your husband or your kid. Tell God how you feel, because we're here to worship him. Amen? 1, 2, 3. Come on, tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Come on, tell it. Wonderful, you're beautiful. Tell him how marvelous he is. Tell him how consistent he is. Tell him how he makes ways for you when people say it's over for you. Tell him how he's wonderful and lovely. If he's a healer in your life, tell him you're that healer. I don't just speak of you, I know you as a healer. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. You opened my eyes, let me
cross, carry the weight to see
my sin.
Come on, body.
Upon that cross.
No music, come on.
I'll never know.
Let the body carry the weight.
How much it cost
to see my
to
sin.
To see my sin.
It was on something.
Upon that.
Let's sing it, come on. I'll never know. Know the cost of your son's life to be upon a cross to die for each one of us. So we thank you for sending grace. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you, God. We bless your name. And I'm
up and say,
you are Alpha
and Omega. Voice with me, and let's say we give you all the glory.
Right now, thank you, God, for bringing us to a holy awe in you. God, to you be all the honor, all the glory. Father, we lift you up on high, and Jesus, we know that if we lift you high, you'll draw all people to yourself. This morning, Father, we just want you to know, thank you so much for your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you, God, that you're so good to us. And Father, today we give you all the glory. Lord, we refuse to take any of it. In fact, God, right now, we abandon ourselves. Lord, we're going to sing that again, and we're going to give you every fiber of our being. Lord, even if we don't like you, even if we're mad this morning, even if we've had a bad day, Lord, you still deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we will abandon ourselves on the altar of God. Come on, give it all, give it all. are the Alpha and Omega. You are the end from the beginning. There is none like you, Father. You truly are Lord, the owner. You are Adonai. You are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. You are Jehovah Jireh. God, we give you all the glory for who you are in our lives. You are the great I am. There is none like you, nor beside you. You are truly the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Today we honor you and we give you all the glory. Oh, I just sense in my spirit, you are holy, Father. You are holy, Father. Holy! 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 The Bible says the angels stand around and declare, holy, holy, holy. I refuse to allow an angel to outshout me this morning. I refuse to allow one who's not participated with the grace of God to outshout me this morning. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let your God know that he's good, that he's changed your life. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. I said give him the glory. You are holy. You are holy, God. You are worthy of all of our praise. Honor and glory. Majesty. We glorify you. We glorify you. Come on, church. Come on, church. Don't stop now. Press in. Press in. God, we refuse to go to church. We want to be where you are. And we know that you inhabit the very praises of your people. So, Lord, we know that you're in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll saturate and penetrate every individual that's in this room. God, not one will be able to say, surely I've been in the house of God. Lord, that we'll be changed in your glory. Lord, there's so much more you haven't even shown us, you haven't revealed to us. And only the Spirit can reveal the things of the Spirit. So, Holy Ghost, you have the right to do whatever you want in these services. We refuse to take control, we give you control. And however you want to manifest, however you want to show yourself powerful, we always give you liberty because you love people. Lord, some of us are just messed up. Oh, I guess, God, we're all a little messed up. Jesus, I thank you that you love us even in our mess, that you're so patient with us. Lord, that's just what's been ringing in my spirit. God, you are so patient with us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, we don't get what we deserve. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. You've never once given up on us. That you even pursue us more than we pursue you. Thank you for your patience, Jesus. We love you this morning. Come on, why don't you tell him that you love him? Thank him. Thank him for his patience this morning. How many of you know that God is patient with you? Glory to God. How many of you are glad God is patient with you? Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome three or four folks that you don't know and say, good morning. I thank God is patient with me. Come on, don't just sit down. Don't sit down. Everybody stand up. Come on, everybody stand right up. And go say hi to somebody you don't know. Come on, you can do it.
shoulders. You can start over regrets. No matter.
We want to welcome you out to Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday gala. We're going to be holding it on April 1st from 6:30 to 9 p.m. We're holding it at the Harbor Inn Hotel located in Watkins Glen. But make sure that you RSVP right at the link that's listed below. Get on there, register, RSVP, and make sure you come out to celebrate his 50th birthday.
Good morning, ladies of His Tabernacle. I want to invite you to participate in the next Women's Encounter. It will be March 10th through 12th, and the cost is only $325, and that includes everything. You need to hurry and sign up, though, because space is limited. Only 16 ladies will be able to sign up for this, so get your deposit to me as soon as you can. A minimum deposit of $200 by February 1st will secure your place for the next Women's Encounter. Email me or grab me in the foyer, Carla@histabernacle.com.
Hey, HD family. If you're new to His Tabernacle, then we have a class just for you. It is called Catch the Vision. In this class, you learn about the background, the history, and the vision of His Tabernacle. We invite you out to the class right after first service in classroom number one.
We keep losing Pastor Spencer. Pastor Spencer! We lose him during that time of meet and greet because he loves to be out there hugging necks and greeting everyone. We just want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for watching. We know we have a family down in Florida that we're watching this morning on live stream. We have family all over the place watching live stream. So we just welcome you. We welcome all of the guests and the visitors to the house this morning today. Thank you so much for coming. If you have not yet received a packet, if you would just raise your hand, we have a gift in a packet we would love to get to you. So if you have not yet gotten one, just raise your hand up and we'll get one to you quickly. We have one. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand clap and thank them for being in the house with us today. Welcome.
I wanted to raise my hand. I wanted a mug. Who here doesn't have a mug yet? Oh, I'm glad they're out in the foyer for you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're excited what God is doing, and we want to thank you for being here and being faithful. God has blessed us. This house is a blessed church. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I just love being in the presence of the Lord, and today we have exciting things that are happening. Between services, many of you come just in the nick of time, but between services, we want to invite you, just come a little bit early, 20 minutes early, and we have what's called Catch the Vision. How many of you know the story of this church beginning? Some of you do. Many of you don't. Man, the amount of miracles it took for you to sit in the chair you're sitting in right now will just confound you. It is absolutely amazing. And so we want to encourage you to be part of that, so that way you can know the vision of the church. Remember, you marry the vision and not the pastor. You marry the vision and not the pastor. A lot of people marry the pastor. Well, if the pastor's not there. You don't marry the pastor. You marry the vision. The vision is what burns in your spirit. We also like everyone to grab your phone. Grab your cell phone. In church, yes, grab it right now. Go to your Facebook and check in. Now, if you are a cell phone person, you can also go to YouVersion, and today's sermon is on YouVersion, all the verses, so you can take notes right there on your phone for the entire message. We'd encourage you to do that as well. We also, my wife already welcomed our online campus. We have right now individuals from California watching. We had folks from Naples, Florida watching this morning. We have people from overseas watching. Barbados is usually watching. We usually catch Barbados. We have people from all over the world watching this morning. They are part of our online campus. They're part of His Tabernacle Family Church. And we want to make sure that we welcome. Give them a hand clap this morning. Our online campus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, we would like to introduce new staff members at His Tabernacle. I'd like to have Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade Spencer come up. Now, people have said to me, well, you know, you hire them, you bring them on staff because they're your children. Oh, no, you don't understand. If they don't produce, they're fired. No, you think I'm kidding. They know I'm not kidding. It's the gifts of God. We move on the gifts. And I love the fact, if you look in the scripture, about the anointing flowing from generation to generation. And I thank God that my children are more advanced than I am. Pastor Chad and Jade have been, have been in South Africa, and they just arrived this week. They'll be closing on their house on Tuesday and be moving into their own home. They're saying amen, and so am I, because they're living with us right now for a few days. And they're going to be taking over all the young adults. So if you are graduated high school all the way through the age of 25, and we want you to know we have a pastor on staff just for you. And so we'd like to have him give a shout.
Thank you guys so much for letting us come and greeting us. Now, I have a question. If you are if you have graduated high school and you're up to 25 years old, can you raise your hand right now for me? There's quite a few hands. I think there might be some people that want to be 25 still, but you know, hey, there we go, Jody. And we are so excited to finally be back. And we just are so excited about Awaken, the young adults ministry that we're going to be starting. Jade and I have really had a passion for people our age. We've been coming through, and as young Christians, we've been looking for materials and resources and people that we can talk to and things like that. And there's really just been a lack in the church as a whole. And so we've really felt that God has put a passion in our hearts to fill this gap and to really fill this thing, because young adults, they either get pushed down with the youth, the younger people, or they get pushed up with the normal congregation. But the truth is, you really need something for people our age. They need a transitional period where they can be around people that are doing the same things as them. So we're super excited, and we're going to be launching a Facebook page here soon, so get a hold of that. It'll give you all the details of when the service times will be and everything like that. So we're so excited.
Hi. No, you know, I'm very excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. What I want to say about Awaken is, you know, I'm tired of apologizing for my generation. And I want to say to all of you that are our generation, it's not too late for us. Jesus is coming back soon, and we're going to be ready. Amen.
And we love her South African accent. My uncle raised his hand. He's 80 years old as in that age group. So 81. Whew, dear Lord, bless him. Here you go.
Amen. Can I share a testimony with you this morning? I love hearing the amazing things God is doing in the house. We just ended our week of prayer and fasting to start our year with our first fruits. And wow, it was powerful. How many of you participated with a week of prayer and fasting? We are going to see such a harvest from the fruit that we planted. We have had testimonies pouring in. This is just one of many, and not even in any kind of order. There have been some phenomenal, incredible financial testimonies already this year. So this one, Alec and Tori Brown said that I could share this. And it says, Alec and I were struggling financially as we were trying to catch up from when he lost his job back in June. When he first started his new job, he was barely working any hours, and we were just getting by. But we knew that as long as we were faithful with our tithes, we would see breakthrough. Now, this is a young couple with a baby. And so on Thursday morning, we received a check in the mail that was from Alex's seasonal job that ended back in November. It was enough money to put us back in the upside of things. Amen. God is faithful. You see, it's really about a heart thing, not a law thing. And that's what I just want to share with you this morning. I want to share the law with you first, but tithing came long before the law was even instituted. Abraham tithed. Jacob tithed to the Lord before it was even put into law. They tithed because they knew how awesome God was, how powerful God was. They saw him provide in famine, and in good times and in bad times. So they tithe out of a heart that just gave honor and set him as Lord and owner over their lives. So then the law was instituted, and that's in Leviticus 27. And it says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. All the tithe is the Lord's. You see, we don't give tithes. We render to God what is God's. It's not even ours. And then he tells us to go on and give. And he tells us in our giving, we should give to what measure we give, it shall be given back to us. But our tithe isn't even our own. We bring it before the Lord. We render back to God what is already his. And you see, when it shifts from the law to the heart, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's because I know my God is faithful. I know when I obey his words, he opens the windows of heaven. I have proof of testimony after testimony in my own life and in the lives of this congregation and people all over the world. You know, his miracle working power is quick too. We have one testimony that came in before they could even put their finances in the envelope to be prayed over. They couldn't even find it. That God had already answered and canceled out over a $50,000 debt. God is awesome and he is powerful, but it's got to shift from a law to a heart thing. As sons and daughters, we do it because we love our God, not because it's a law.
You know what I could hear somebody saying? Yep, told you, church all about money. That's all they ever want. Heard it ringing in my head. You know something, when you go to the supermarket next time and you put all your stuff on the conveyor belt and they scan it all and they look at you and say, that will be $120. I want you to look at them and say, it's all about money to you, isn't it? It's all about money. Some of you used to go to the bars. You go to the bar and the bartender, you'd get your drink and you pay $5 for a brew and you flip them a little tab. And you know, and next time, well, you shouldn't be a next time. But if you do, you look at me, listen, I'm not coming to this bar anymore because all you want is my money. Come on now. We're not talking about foolish things. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Can I hear an amen? We're not talking about getting something. We're talking about honoring the king. So it's foolish. Even that mindset is foolish, that all we want is your money. Listen, this is about you honoring the king. And next time you go to the supermarket, try it and see how it works for you.
Amen. That's good stuff right there. Leviticus, I want to read the second portion. I love this so much. 30 and 32, it says, the law is not made for the righteous man, but the lawless and disobedience. So I'll explain that. In other words, Abraham didn't need a law to tell him to render his tithes and offering to his God. Did you pick that up? Abraham didn't need the law to tell him to give his tithes and offerings. It was a heart thing. He did it before the law was even instituted. God wants it to come out of our heart, not because it's a rule and a regulation. Some of you today are facing really real financial situations, and you have not been a tither for whatever reason it is. Maybe you didn't even know you were supposed to tithe. Maybe you had wrong teaching, or maybe you even had rebellion, but you're facing real finances today that are a struggle and a problem. I promise you, the Word of God, the Constitution, promises you, if you will tithe, he will prosper your land. You invite the supernatural into your natural situation when you tithe. So I want so badly this family of God to bring all of the tithe into the house of God in 2016. Not just 20% of the people tithing, all of the house bringing the tithe to our God and to our King this year in 2016. It's going to shift everything in your finances. Just like Alec and Tori put their faith in this Constitution, not in what they were seeing, not in what they were feeling or they were experiencing, but in the Constitution, God showed up big for them, and God will show up big for you. So let's shift our thinking from this law stuff and make it a heart thing and give to our King. stand to your feet this morning. We make a supernatural declaration when we give. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God.
I love that when they chase them down to give. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. This is the year of kingdom seed. We want you to know we got ready. We were going to have these ready for you next week, but they're here this week. We have new t-shirts and sweatshirts and all that other stuff. And I gave away all the ones they gave me in first service, and so they only gave me one in second service. What are you going to do? And since you chased down the offering plate, why don't you come get a shirt? I got to give it to him, baby girl, because he chased down that. Glory to Jesus. God bless you, man of God. Amen. Those are out in the foyer. If you want to represent, you can go around town and people look at you and say, you have a tree on your shirt. And you go, yes, because I'm a seed planter. Amen. This is the year of. I said, this is the year of. My goodness, how can you see the tree and the root system? Isn't it exciting to realize that every tree, no matter how large or how small, all comes from a... Turn to someone and say, I've got seed. Turn to somebody else and say, I am seed. Today we want to make sure, as we're getting ready to embark on this entire year, that you started off right. So many individuals don't know how to get and receive from heaven. Today we're going to teach you a principle of being a person of seed so that you will be able to acquire what God has for you in the eternal. See, many of you don't realize that God wants you blessed and not cursed. The verse for the year is found in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also will not wither, no, and whatever he does shall fail. Whatever he does will be mediocre. Whatever he does, well, you know. Whatever he does shall. Whatever he does shall. Whatever he does shall. God wants you to prosper, not just barely make it by. So many believers are just making it by in their life. I'm not talking money. I'm talking in their life. I'm talking in the aspects of every area that God wants you to prosper, not just barely making it by. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to succeed in 2016. Last year, we were talking about the kingdom. You see, the Bible declares in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The truth is that if you do not understand the kingdom, then you cannot seek it first. If you do not seek the kingdom first, then you're out of order in how God works. You see, God's kingdom is not like any other nation on the world. Every nation on this continent has some form of government, and all the governments have failed to their capacity. Even democracy is at a place where it is failing in America. You see, there's only one government this world has not tried, and that is the kingdom of God. And one day it's called the millennial reign of Christ, that God's kingdom shall rule, and Christ Jesus will be seated and set up, and he'll rule this world with the rod of iron and with the power of heaven. That will be the kingdom of God. The great part is that when you and I got saved, that the Holy Ghost dwells within us. Can I hear an amen? That right now, by his Spirit, you become the temple of God. When you become the temple of the Holy Spirit, then what occurs is this. The kingdom of God is now within you. You and I, now as sons and daughters of the Most High King, we literally can live within the laws of heaven. We talked about this year how the kingdom we must seek first. And there are certain laws that if you do not live by, then you cannot succeed. Now, I want you to know this very quickly. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, the principle of the seed still works. You see, it is an eternal law, whether you're born again or a sinner, that will always work. A sinner can take a piece of corn, a kernel of corn, plant it in the ground, and guess what happens? It grows. A Christian, a believer, can take a kernel of corn and put it in the ground, and it's going to grow. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, you are living by the principle of the seed. And every one of us are participating with a harvest in our life. Every area of our life is receiving harvest. Some of you don't like the harvest that you're in. Some of you don't like the experience that you're living. Some of you are struggling with your finances. You're struggling with your relationships. You're struggling with your own walk with God. You're struggling and you can't understand why. It's very simple. Because the principle of seed time and harvest will never change. It never ceases. And whether you're born again or not born again, it is actively involved in your life. It is a kingdom law. And we this year are living by kingdom seed. As we seek the kingdom first, we learn there are certain keys that unlock the power of God in our lives. And the principle of the seed is truly a key that God himself lives by. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 makes this declaration. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. You see, the principle of seed time and harvest is so lived by God that even when he created the Garden of Eden, he planted the garden. God could have simply said, let there be the Garden of Eden, and there was. But when God instituted the laws of heaven or the constitution, the principles of eternity, he too activated the law of seed time and harvest, that within all seeds is its like kind, and it shall produce of like kind. So when it came time for the Garden of Eden to be established, God himself planted the garden. He activated seed time and harvest. You know, it's a very interesting thought that many believers have never even thought about, but all the animals of the field and all the birds of the air were created out of dirt. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? Genesis chapter 2. You'll find that the Bible says that God created all the animals of the field and the birds of the air out of dirt. I'm going to preach a whole month this year on dirt. You can take any seed you want, but unless you have the right ground, your seed will never produce fruit. God always has used dirt and he's used seed to produce his design and his desire. And as believers, this is an eternal principle that we cannot run from. You and I are living in the principle of the seed even today. God lives it himself, and if we think we can escape it, then we're delusioned. The book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 makes a declaration. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You see, many of us deceive ourselves, thinking that we can do anything we desire in every form and fashion of our life, and we can get a different harvest. That is deception. Every one of us are receiving from the seeds that we have planted from the past, and the harvest is what we're living right now. Now, some people have said to me, Pastor, I did not plant these seeds of sickness. I did not plant these seeds of despair. So what is happening? I want to remind you that if you have not planted those seeds, that it is the devil planting tares among the seeds, which Jesus himself talked about in the book of Matthew. And you need to recognize that's not when you take a passive posture, but an aggressive posture and bind the devil who's trying to destroy or trying to bring death to your seed. No matter what, we're in the position that every one of us in this room are making choices. Every one of us in this room are positioning ourselves for a harvest already for 2016. It is already the 10th of January. We are almost halfway through the first month of 2016, and many of us have never thought about what we're planting or what we even want for a harvest. Listen now, you aim at nothing, you hit. You aim at nothing, you hit. Well, no, it's not true. You will hit something. Or somebody. If you aim at nothing, you're still gonna hit. What goes up has to come down. It's called gravity. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, unless God lets you walk on air, if you step off of this platform, what you sow, you shall reap. Gravity is going to work. Now, there are the principles of the supernatural, where God will do a supernatural bidding and working for you to show forth his glory. But in the normal process of life, we all live by this thing called seed time and harvest. Now, what we are sowing for is something that has to be determined, and that's never determined by God. Turn to someone and say, my harvest is not determined by God. You've heard somebody say at one point in time, maybe you said it yourself, well, you know, it's just... everything happens for a reason. How many of you ever said that before? How many of us are full of crap? That is not true. Has no truth to it. Everything happens for a reason. That is not true. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. Let me tell you what you will find in the Bible. God said, I will make all things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that what happened was good. We've come to this place in Christianity where it's the que sera, sera, but God has put us in a position right from the beginning of the garden where he has said, what you sow, you shall reap. And then he reestablished that same principle with Noah in Genesis chapter 8, where he declared that when you sow, you shall reap, and whatever you sow, you shall reap, and also declared it again all the way through the scripture, but in Galatians that we just talked about. Today, I want you to know as a believer in Christ, as a son and daughter of the Most High God, that 2016 doesn't have to be que sera for you, but you can be a person that is intentional. You can be a person that is tactical. You can be a farmer in the spirit. You can be a farmer in the flesh. And if you are wise and a wise servant of the Most High God, then your harvest that you produce will be abundant, for God wants to bless you abundantly above even all you could even ask or imagine. But the blessing does not come by accident, or you can never repeat it. The blessing always comes by intention. God planted Christ intentionally to get you, the sons and daughters of God, intentionally. We live so haphazardly, and God is telling us that we've got to shake ourselves and wake up, especially in these last days. There is a harvest of souls that has to be brought in before the trumpet of God sounds, and the saints of God have got to start rising to the occasion of living on purpose and living in harvest instead of just surviving Christianity. All two people said amen. You see, this principle is simple. Turn to someone and say simple. When we understand simple, it means that you don't have to have a doctorate degree to grab it. Every single child knows that if they look at you and mouth off, I pray, that there's going to be discipline. Seed time, harvest. If you go to work tomorrow and you just walk into your workplace and you look at your boss and you say, listen, I don't like you, I don't like your company, I want a raise. What might happen to you? Well, I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair that they fired me. I'm a nice person, and I was being genuine. It doesn't matter how genuine you are. It doesn't matter how good intentioned you are. What you sow, you shall reap. Last I knew, we were a Pentecostal church. Let's get back home. Can I say amen? People have said to me, Pastor, you have so much stuff. You have so many toys. You're so blessed. Let me tell you what it is. My wife and I learned a long time ago that seed time and harvest is not just one crop at a time, but that you can learn to be a perpetual sower. When you become a perpetual sower of seed, you will have perpetual harvest. But many believers have never come to the position even of understanding the seeds that they're planting on a daily basis. So therefore, happening is they're constantly getting harvest that they don't enjoy. They're getting harvest in their life that is bad for them, and they're sitting back and they're complaining to God. And God is telling them, listen, don't complain to me. I gave you the Constitution. I gave you the eternal principles. I gave you the law of heaven, and the law is true. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is a simple gospel. It is a simple principle. The seed will always produce a harvest. If we keep it simple, then we can start planting with intention and getting the great things that God has for you. Turn to someone and say, God doesn't want you poor. God doesn't want you just surviving. God wants you blessed. Now, I know that there might be people in the room that don't believe in prosperity, and I'm excited for you because that means every raise you get, you're going to give back to the kingdom of God. That's what I thought. I had people come to me. Are you one of those prosperity preachers? I said, of course I am. Show me one of the patriarchs that was poor. In fact, but the Bible tells us that money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says at all. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is nothing more than a tool or a commodity that passes back and forth to people to be able to produce blessing or cursing. And I'm here to tell you today, the poor will always be among us. But if you are one of the poor, how can you bless any people? God wants you blessed in every area of your life. Why? Because God wants you to be a blessing and a representation and a declaration that God is with you and on your side. Can I hear an amen? We must be intentional harvesters, which means you must be an intentional seed planter. Can I ask you a question? In the last 10 days, what conscious seed have you planted that you're expecting a harvest from? If you don't have something immediately off the top of your head, that means you've been living by accident for the last 10 days. But whether you like it or not, whether you've lived on accident or not, the fact is still the fact. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You have been planting seeds for the last 10 days. You will reap a harvest from the last 10 days, but what kind of harvest are you going to get? Well, I don't know. You don't even know what you planted yourself. So what kind of harvest are you going to get? People said to me, I'm mad at God. I'm so mad at God. I prayed and nothing happened. Well, I'm so mad at God because bad things have come into my life. And I've looked at people and I said, well, did you plant the right seeds? And they look at me and go, what are you talking about? Whether you like it or not, you're participating with this eternal principle. And it's going to work in your life one way or the other. Isn't it simply intelligent? Turn to someone and say, it is intelligent. It is intelligent to work the principle of the eternal kingdom so that you and I can live in blessing and not cursing, and we can know what we're going to harvest rather than just by luck get what comes down the trail. Intentional harvesters demand intentional seed planters. So this is what we're going to teach you this morning. I'm almost done. Has anybody ever heard of a faith wall? I haven't preached faith wall for 2 years. And I want to teach that today because I believe that you need to know what you're going to produce in 2016. What is a faith wall? A faith wall is a piece of paper that you're going to put up somewhere in your house. Now, my wife and I, you're getting the instructions right now. They're passing out the instructions on how to create one. We're going to go through it with you. So today's more of a teaching than a preaching. But I want you to be successful in 2016, so we're going to intentionally get you to learn how to plant seed to get your harvest. A faith wall is something that you need to place where you're going to see it. Now, my family and I, in our house, our toilet faces a door. I remember one year, how many of you go to the bathroom every day? Yeah, me too, sometimes twice a day. You go to the bathroom, you sit on the throne, I mean, you're already halfway there to the kingdom anyways, and you look across and there's my door. And what's on the door? Is our faith wall. What's exciting for you to know, and how many of you have done a faith wall? Raise your hand again. How many of you had most of the faith wall answered when you put it up? The majority of people. Let me tell you why. Because when you aim and plant with intention, you will have a harvest that God has for you. You and I determine our harvest. Therefore, we've got to determine our seed. You want to take your faith wall and put it where you're going to see it every single day, multiple times a day. Now, what a lot of people don't recognize, like I said earlier, is whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, whether you're a saint of God or not a saint of God, this principle still works. How many of you have ever heard of Napoleon Hill? Napoleon Hill did a study on all the wealthiest people of the world of that day. And one thing that he found that was consistent amongst all the wealthiest people of the world was this one principle. They always wrote their vision down and they spoke over it 3 times a day. Now, some people say, well, you know, we shouldn't bring the world's principles into the church. No, let me tell you what's happened. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision. Write it plain on tablets, that those who read it may be able to run with it. And though it tarry, it shall come. You see, the world has stolen the godly principles and are planting intentional seed, and the church is sitting back, and they're saying, well, I don't want the world's ways. And the world is taking the principles of God's eternal kingdom, working them in their life, and the church is sitting back complaining because we don't got much. I'll say amen myself. Amen! How do I know it? Because I deal with church folk all the time. You see, I've made a decision in my life that I refuse to live accidentally. That I refuse just to let life happen. And even when bad things come, I can sow and turn it around in Jesus' name. God's principle will always work. So you want to put this faith wall, as after you create it, in a place that you are always going to see it. It's very important, and this is when you're going to start seeing answers coming your way. Now, what we're going to do is, I want you to, you know, I remember the first year I did this, I was really cheap. My wife created that. She's creative. I want to encourage you to go to Hobby Lobby. They're born again. How many of you know Hobby Lobby are born again folk? We support born again folk. They are closed on Sunday and they also tithe as a company. You wonder why they're successful. They tithe as a corporation and that means they're seeding as a corporation. They just seeded into a major ministry in America and turned it around. So I'd encourage you to go to Hobby Lobby. they're going to have construction paper there. I went there and I got a big white background, and then I got different colors. And I'd encourage you to use colors because colors stimulate your mind. There was yellow for spiritual growth, orange for health and wellness. We had blue for intellectual achievement, gold for financial prosperity, and purple for family and relationships. And you cut little portions and you put it on that big poster board, and then you're going to use, now see, I'm not real creative, so I would go get magazines. Thank God we still have printed magazines in America. Can I hear an amen? You go get a magazine and what you're believing for. You know, one year I wanted a duck boat. And you know, they don't, how many of you know what a duck boat is? It's not just a boat. It's a shallow water boat with a mud motor. You might have seen it on Duck Dynasty. I actually tried to grow my beard real long and my wife threatened my life. But I wanted a duck boat, and so I actually, they had one up at the Bass Pro Shop in Auburn. And every once in a while, I would get in my car, and I would drive to Auburn, and I would go walk around that boat. I took photographs of that boat, and I put that boat on my faith wall. And I said, God, I thank you that you're going to bless me with a duck boat. I didn't want a boat. I wanted a duck boat. With a mud motor. And I started looking for it. And so I started sewing for it. And we had enough finances that I could buy it with cash. And so I went looking and I found one in South Carolina. Minister Redner and I got in our vehicle and we drove down to South Carolina. Listened to Karen Carpenter the whole way. Glory be to God. Anybody else love Karen Carpenter? Anybody not know who Karen Carpenter is? Oh, you sad children. That means you're young. You love Karen Carpenter, don't you? We picked up the duck boat and we came back. And wow, you know, I had that duck boat for 1 year. And then I got a notice. I got a notice from my son who had recently moved to Africa. And he said, Dad, we're going to get married in Africa. We want the whole family to come out. We'd like you to do the wedding. And I said, well, we don't have the money for that. And my wife said, no, but you have a duck boat. The amazing part is that God knows even the desires of your heart, and he knows how he's going to work things in your life. So we were able to buy the duck boat for cash, turned around, we were able to sell the duck boat. It was the only one for sale in the entire Northeast. And a man all the way from Iowa drove out and bought the duck boat at a premium price because it was the only one, and it provided every thousand of dollars to get the entire family to Africa to do Chad and Jade's wedding. But if I had never put the duck boat on the faith wall, I would never have had the money to go to Africa for their wedding. You see, your life and my life are dictated by the seeds of faith and the seeds that we place before God, and they literally will affect not just what you can see and know, but it affects your future. This is where we've got to shake ourselves and get back to this principle that is so absolutely powerful in our life. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to create a faith wall for you and your family. If you are single, I want you to create one for yourself. We're going to show you how to do it real quickly. We got a little thing that we're going to put up on the wall for you, up on the screen for you. This is what we want you to do. This is what it will look like. Now, for you, and this is not what mine will look like because my wife has her own little style. You're going to have your own little style. But you're going to have a section, and this is called your faith wall. You want to put it where you can see it. This is just the front page. If you want these, ask us. We'll email them to you. If you're watching by live stream right now, no matter where you are in the world, if you email me, histab, H-I-S-T-A-B, at histabernacle.com, we will send you the instructions and also this PowerPoint so that you can know exactly and see the instructions on how to create your faith wall. The next one is this. You want to create a section on your faith wall that positions your spiritual growth. Some of you can't understand why you're not growing spiritually, but you never read your Bible. Some of you aren't growing spiritually, and you can't understand it, but you're not reading your Bible. I don't like to read. Well, I don't care if you like to read. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If there's no word in you, there's no faith in you. If there's no faith in you, you've got to recognize what the devil is after. The devil isn't after your health. The devil isn't after your wealth. The devil isn't after your family. The devil is after your faith. Because if the devil has your faith, then he has all those. So the devil works desperately to keep you out of the scripture. The devil works desperately to keep you out of the word of God. So listen now, I have men that tell me, and myself, everyone learns a little bit different. I learn better not as much by reading, but by hearing. So we have YouVersion. It's on Android. I don't know why anybody would own one, but Android and also Apple. And you can download this app. It's a free app. And on there is this Bible app. It will actually read the scripture to you while you're driving to work or getting your hair done or, taking a shower. Put the scripture on and let the word of God be read into your spirit, and it will build your faith. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. So don't worry about it. Get the word in your spirit every single day. Be consistent in prayer. Instead of wasting your time, listen to your country music as you're driving to work. Or, well, we love Karen. But I pray too. Take some time to pray. Take some time to talk to Jesus. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to join a ministry. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to join a ministry. I'm going to be faithful to church. Now listen, we're in the time what we call resolution time. Now let me tell you about New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions in the church world usually last about 2 months. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution to be faithful to church. So there's a church increase usually for about 2 months, and then it dies off. Well, why is that? Because everyone after 2 months abandons their New Year's resolution. That's why you weigh 10 pounds more this year than last year. This is not a resolution. This is a declaration. And you're speaking over it every single day. And what will happen is, what you say, you shall receive. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Write down, maybe, these are just suggestions. I want to witness to 3 of my friends and lead 1 friend to Jesus in this year, 2016. If every single person in this house led 1 soul to Christ, right now there are 1,300 people that come here every single month. That means next year at this time, if everyone led 1 soul to Christ, there'd be 2,600 people in this house. The next one is a little section on health and wellness. Maybe you've had a bad doctor's report, or maybe you've got sickness in your life. I hear people all the time, well, I've got this disease and I've got that disease. Well, listen, baby, if it's yours, then you keep it. But the last I knew, that by his stripes we are healed. And then he says in Peter, by his stripes we were healed, past tense. Either you were healed or you were not healed. It's not what you can see, for I don't walk by sight, I walk by faith. Can I hear an amen? If you call those things, whatever you declare, you shall receive. What you're doing is you're positioning yourself spiritually to receive from eternity. That is the principle of heaven. You see, if you want a favorable report from the doctor, then you want to put it on your faith wall and say, God, I thank you by this doctor's report that you're going to send healing to my body. I receive what you did on Calvary's tree. You just didn't die so my sins would be forgiven. You died that my body would be made whole in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? You can put in there that I'm going to pray for a sick person every single week. You can put in there that I'm going to start a workout program. Americans are very, what is it, sedentary. Whew. It means you sit down too much. Well, I didn't want to say the word lazy. That was second row said that. I didn't say that at all. Many people don't work out, and the problem is God didn't create our bodies to be motionless. When I started riding bicycle, my children told me, you're just doing another fad, Dad. And I made a decision last year that I was going to ride 1,000 miles on my bicycle. And so we were out of country for 1 month. And so I readjusted it so that it'd be realistic. So I readjusted my goal for 2015 to be 900 miles on my bicycle. It came the last week of 2015, and that Monday it rained. And that Tuesday it was really nasty out. So I had Wednesday and I had New Year's Eve that I had to fulfill another 50 miles. And I said to myself, don't be a slug. Get up and finish the goal. And I kept speaking to myself, you're going to make this, kid. You're going to make the goal. And the first day, on Wednesday, I rode 30 miles on the bicycle. I got off the bicycle and walked like this. I stood in the shower and said, I don't want to stand anymore. I don't want to stand anymore. I don't want to stand anymore. I literally told my wife I was in pain standing in the shower. But the next day, I still had to ride 20 miles. I got on my bicycle in the morning on New Year's Eve day, and I rode my bicycle from where I live to here, which is 10 miles, and made sure there was nobody who could take me back home. And I rode my bicycle back home. I got up near, what church is that? Maranatha Church. And my body said, call somebody quickly. I know you're dying. And I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make this 900 miles. It's not going to be 897. I will complete the vision. And I made it all the way home. And let me tell you something. When you complete a goal, what you sow, you shall reap. And my goal's gone even higher this year. And I'm already behind the first week. Glory be to God. Let's move on. The next one you want to do is intellectual achievement. How many of you realize that when you stop learning, you start dying? When you stop learning, you start dying. You must continue to learn. John Maxwell, who is a tremendous trainer in the body of Christ, his dad, who was in his mid-70s, came to his house one day, and he brought his briefcase. And John opened his dad's briefcase, and there was a book in there on leadership. And he said, Dad, you've been retired for the last 15 years. Why do you have a book on leadership? He says, Son, because when you stop learning, you start dying. He said, I will never stop reading. I will never stop learning. Listen now, you have got to learn. Some of us don't read books anymore. Ask yourself when the last time you even read a book. And my leadership team, I ask them all the time, what leadership book are you reading? And if they tell me none, I know that in not too short a time, I probably need to get rid of them. Because when you stop learning, you start dying. You know, you can take a college class at Corning Community College. You can take a class up at BOCES. You can take a class right here at Regent Bible Institute, where you can take a Bible college class. And you can do it where you don't even need to take the tests. You know, you can take Rock Solid Faith. There are different courses that are being taught throughout the week. Every day of the week, there's a class being taught here at the church. You need to continue to learn. Don't be somebody that stops learning. Can I hear an amen? The next one is positioning yourself for financial prosperity. You need to put on there, maybe that you need to be debt-free. Can I hear an amen? God wants you debt-free. You don't have to live with an overhang of your life that you're always struggling every moment of your life. You can put down that I'm going to be a tither and a seeder. Maybe you've never started tithing. This is the year to start tithing and seeding. Maybe you're believing God for a house. You know, it's amazing. As my son had been saving his money, you know, he's living in Africa. And he said, I'm buying a house. And I said, great, because I don't want you living with me. And so, no, come on, you know how it is. It's horrible for them and it's horrible for you. It's terrible. We won't tell you why, but it's terrible. And he said, Dad, I want to buy a house. Now, they had already wrote a list of what they wanted. They already wrote what they were believing God for in a house. So we started looking. They're in Africa and we're in America. My sister, who's a real estate agent, she called me and she said, there's a house that just came on the market. I know Chad and Jade are going to love it. And it met their vision and what they were believing God for. They paid, it was on the market one day. They paid a very amazing low price. The house just down the street now going for almost $20,000 more than they paid for theirs. They got a better kitchen than we got. There's a problem there. So here we are, folks. You need to recognize this works. Are you believing God for a new car? Are you believing God for a new house? Are you believing God for something for your family? What financially are you believing for? For what you sow, you shall reap. Can I hear an amen? Am I boring you? You need to position yourself in your relationships. If you're struggling in your relationship with your spouse and you keep telling them that you hate them, that's bad seed. If you're believing God for a spouse and you pick up somebody that's not born again, that's bad seed. I think I should say that one again. If you're believing God for a spouse and they're not saved, that's bad seed. That's not me who said it. God said, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because it's going to cause you spiritual trouble in your walk with heaven. You see, if you want your marriage to be good, you've got to seed into your marriage. You know, I tell married couple this all the time. I'm almost done. Here we go. How much do most people spend on their car? I think the average car payment is like $350 to $400 a month. So let's just take $400. $400 a month times 12 is $4,800. So you pay your car payment, your car insurance. Your car insurance is probably, let's just say, $1,000. So your car insurance is $1,000. That's $5,800 a month. Then you got to pay your gasoline. Thank God it went down. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But let's just say you're paying $1,000 a year for your gasoline. Now you're at $6,800 a year. Then you got to get some oil changes. Can I hear an amen? So you get some oil changes, and let's just say you're at $6,000 straight across the board that you're paying for your car every single year. And I look at married couples that are having trouble, and I say, how much did you spend on your marriage last year? And they said, what? I said, you're paying $6,000 a year for something you're going to throw away in 5 years or less, but you spend nothing, you invest nothing, you sow nothing into a marriage that you expect to last forever. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. So you can put on your faith wall that I'm going to have a better relationship with my wife and my family. You can put on your faith wall that I'm believing God for restored relationships. You can put on your faith wall that I'm going to get more involved with my church family, the family of God, those that I should be hanging around. You know, some of you got friends you need to get rid of. I'll say that again too, and then I'll end. How does that sound? Some of you got friends you need to get rid of. Man, you're still partying when you shouldn't be partying. You should be mature enough in your gospel that you shouldn't be partying. You should be the example to them how to live their life before Christ. Can I hear an amen or oh my? This is where we have got to say to ourselves, listen, there's a family. I have people say to me all the time, well, you know, there's nobody in that church that I found that I like. What is your problem? There's 1,300 people in this church. If you can't find somebody in this church that you like in 1,300 people, then you're sowing bad seed. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says if you want friends, you've got to be friendly. That means if you're friendly to people, you're going to meet people, because there's at least 50 people in this church that you'd like, that you'd get along with, that do the same kind of stuff besides partying that you might do. Can I hear an amen or oh my? There's somebody in this house. You need to build relationships that are going to build you spiritually. I'm not saying that you tell your friends you hate them and you're moving away, but they shouldn't be the stronger influence. You should be. Amen? Put that on your faith wall. All of this is compiled on your faith wall. And then you place it somewhere in your house so that every single day you're looking over your faith wall and you're saying, Father, I'm going to plant seeds here. God, I'm going to plant seeds here. God, I'm going to plant seeds here. I'm going to plant seeds here. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this intentionally so that I can have the harvest that I'm believing for. Isn't it time to stop living by accident? Amen? I said amen. Now, I know for some of you I bored you. But I want you to know that this is going to change your life if you do it. What I want you to do is when your faith wall is complete, I want you to post it on Facebook. Now, if there are things you don't want people to see, just cover those little pieces. But I want you to post it on Facebook because I want to see, I would love to, how many of you are going to do a faith wall? Now, not everybody raised their hands. And when you don't raise your hand, I do want to ask you this question. Why don't you want to live intentionally? Well, I don't want to put the energy in making a faith wall. Like I said, why don't you want to live intentionally? If you're unwilling to make a faith wall, the real question is, why don't you want to have a harvest that you deserve? Well, I'm going to have it no matter what. That is not true. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you're not going to be intentional, then you're going to live accidental. And if you live accidental, you're going to have harvests in your life that you are not going to want. God wants you to be blessed and not cursed. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says in Matthew 21:21, Jesus said and answered unto them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you not only will do what was done to the fig tree, but also you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and it will be done for you. Whatever you ask in my name in prayer, believing, you will receive. I want you to know today that life and death are in the power of your tongue. We're going to do a whole section on that. But every day I want you speaking over your faith wall. Well, what does that do? It's very simple. You've heard the verse that said life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who eat it will eat the fruit thereof. Every day we speak. We're the only creation of heaven that have the ability to do what God did, and that is to speak words. Life and death are in the power. You know what the word power there means? Hand. You ever had somebody say, hey, it's in your hands? Life and death are in the hand of your tongue. And you'll eat its fruit. So by getting up every single day, looking at what harvest you want, speaking to your harvest, your spirit will automatically start placing seeds to go to that location. Because I failed to teach my son this with motorcycle. Cody got in a, Cody T-boned with his motorcycle a car. I was behind him. I watched him T-bone that car. I watched him. He should have been a torpedo right into the window of the guy who's staring right into his eyes. And I watched his body go right into a handstand and stop. His body never touched the other car. It stopped in midair, and he came perfectly down on his hands. Never got a bruise. I looked at him, and I rode over to him, and I said, son, that right there was your life. You better get right with God, because he wasn't serving Jesus. That's when his life changed. He later learned that where you look is where you go. And he said to me, and this is his excuse for hitting that car. He says, my problem was that my teacher never taught me the true principles of riding motorcycle. He's talking about his dad. I said, what do you mean? He says, dad, you never told me where I look is where the motorcycle goes. Well, I didn't tell him, but I just thought he'd figure that out. Where he T-boned that car is where he was looking. Will you T-bone a car? Or will you stay successfully on the road? Determines where you look and what you speak. Make a faith wall. Bow your heads with me this morning. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that you need Jesus. You need him to wash your sins away. Jesus was the seed of heaven to produce the harvest of souls. For without the blood of Jesus, you and I cannot be saved. Just like Christ had to give his life, unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces no fruit. So Jesus wants you to place your life, wants you to give up your life, to give it to him that he might live his life through you. That's called salvation. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to be a citizen of heaven. I want you to know and live the relationship with God that he has for you. If you're watching by live stream, I'm talking to you too. If you're not right with God, how do I know if I'm right with God? Number one, you've never confessed Christ. Number two, you're afraid to die. If you're afraid to die, that's an issue showing you're not right with Jesus. Today, if you know if you took your last breath, you wouldn't go to heaven. You want to make yourself right with God today. You want to be the first seed that will change generations to come.
I want you to raise your hand up right now. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. I see that right there. You can put it right back down. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. 2. Last call. Come on, get your hand up. Last call. 1. Father, I thank you for these two souls that will never be the same again. God, I thank you that they're going to be the seed, Father, for their generation that will change, Lord, perpetually, second, third, fourth generations in their families. I thank you, God, that you are planting us in this region to make a difference. In Jesus' name, let's all stand to our feet. I just want to speak the seed of God over you. In Jesus' name, I declare, God, blessing and not cursing. I declare, God, that they're going to excel in you. I declare, God, that we're going to have harvest this year that will just baffle the world. They won't understand how we got where we are. Lord, individually and corporately, I declare, Lord Jesus, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that sickness has no right in our body, disease has no right in our family, that, God, we're healed and whole in Jesus' name. I speak to the minds. I command the spirit of depression to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. God, I declare right now that this house will be known as a place to go when you want the blessings of heaven, that, God, you'll be glorified in all that we do for your honor and your name's sake. And everybody receiving the seed of the word of God declares, I said declares. This morning, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to have the prayer team. If the prayer team will please come around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is here. And what I'd like you to do is this. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Grab the person next to you. Meet me right up here right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Come on now. Let's go get the world. Build your faith wall this week and make sure you post it on Facebook. We love you. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name. If you raise your hand for salvation, make your way down here, please.
Well, I won't buy for